The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 24th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And Jesus said to his disciples about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For in those days, before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until that day Noah entered the ark. And no one knew anything. They knew nothing until the floodwaters came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together. One will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this. If the owner of the house would have known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and prevented his house from being broken into. Therefore, you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated, and I'll invite any of the children like to come up to for the children's message. Join me up front here. Good morning. How are you? Are you guys good? Yeah, kind of?
I want to sit there.
Well, you can sit wherever you want, brother. All is well. So, I got something for you today. You got a Christmas tree at home?
Yeah.
Why do you have a Christmas tree at home?
Because
it's going to be Christmas, right? We're doing all kinds of get stuff to get ready for being Christmas, right? And part of that is giving gifts, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I got something for you. Okay? It's a yeah. It is a magnet that you can take home and put something on your refrigerator with it. What is that Christmas tree right there?
Yeah.
That's, well, it's not really a Christmas tree. It's called an Advent wreath. Yeah, it did. It just took a turn. But that's all right, because you noticed that, right? So that's one of the changes we make at the beginning of our church year. Usually New Year's falls after Christmas, right? Or the beginning of our calendar. But this is the new church year. I know, it does have fire on it because we light candles on it, right? All right, let's reel this back into that magnet you have in your hand. Right? Yeah, you know what I like about this magnet? It's got a simple prayer on it. It's got five words in simple prayer. I bet you can say it with me, even though you can't read it. God bless us, everyone. Can you say that with me? God bless us, everyone. God bless us, everyone. So the first time I ever heard that was in that Christmas Carol story. A Christmas story? Yeah. Christmas Carol. Thank you. I knew it was in there somewhere. And Tiny Tim was this guy, he's poor, didn't have a whole lot of money. And there's this kind of rich guy. And he's noticing that this poor little kid is praying for everyone and thanking God for all that he has. And the rich guy was like, wait a minute, he's poor. How can he be happy about what God's given him? But that's the truth. It doesn't take money to be happy. God's love is what makes us able to enjoy God's blessings in all of life. Right? Yeah? And do you guys see the picture that's on this magnet as well? You already put it in your pocket? Well, let me give you another one so you can give it to a friend. No? Okay. Well, what's that picture of? Do you see? Baby Jesus. And who's with baby Jesus? Mary and Joseph, right? You know, Mary said another prayer when she knew that she was going to have baby Jesus. And she blessed everyone, all of creation, in that prayer, saying that God has blessed her. She said, let it be. And the Beatles wrote a song about it. But what we need to know is that that prayer, God bless us everyone, is a prayer that we can say for everyone at this time of year, but also all the time, right? Because when we pray for others, God blesses us as well, right? And that's the blessing. We are here to be a blessing for others because God loves us and we are blessed. All right, can we pray? Good and gracious God, we thank you for this day together. We thank you for the beginning of a new Advent season and a new church year beginning. God bless us, everyone. Amen. All right, go ahead and have a seat. Good morning, good morning. I am Pastor Randy, and I am so happy to be here. You really know how to make people feel welcome. I mean, your new paint in the pastor study, that game yesterday, you guys go all out. That is amazing. No, honestly, I have felt welcome ever since the first time I talked to the call committee. And thank you very much for everything that you have done. The anticipation is finally over. Finally, a new church year. Advent. Here we are. We are full of expectation for the Son of God. The advent of Christ. The coming of Christ. We can see it on the altar. Come, Lord, come. This time of year is also full of expectation of Christmas with presents and family and friends. We have a group we call our Framly because they are so close, we can't imagine our lives without them. And this time of year is full of anticipation of, and in today's gospel, it helps us to place a perspective on the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And also to ask some very deep questions, testing our own faith. Are we ready? Asking questions like, what kind of Savior are you anticipating? One that is continually watching each and every action you do? One that would punish all the people that you don't agree with or maybe you don't like? Or one who will find a way to make room for everyone, for them, for us? You might wonder, as I did, why we are hearing Jesus talk about the second coming and not the first. You know, his foreseen arrival as a child in swaddling clothes lined in a manger. This Advent season is a time to wait for the coming of the Son of God, no matter how you think or picture your Savior. You might remember the famous scene in that deep theological movie, Talladega Nights, where the driver, I don't even remember his name, Ricky Bobby or something like that, begins a prayer, but he always pictures Jesus as the baby Jesus. So he keeps on saying, sweet baby Jesus, 8 pounds, 6 ounce baby Jesus. And everybody else is like, hey, you know he grew up, right? He had a beard. And they're like, he was a man, he was this, but the guy praying continues to go back to sweet baby Jesus. I explain this crazy scene because no matter which Jesus you picture when you pray or think about him, Advent is the time to think about the Son of Man through history, mystery, and majesty. That didn't come from me. I stole it off the internet somewhere, but it was with great intentions. History, mystery, and majesty. And because we are using that theme from A Christmas Carol about Ebenezer Scrooge and that tagline, the prayer, God bless us everyone, we might think of Jesus coming to us from the past, the present, and future. So if we look at our past and our history, in the reading today we hear about Jesus, the Son of God, compared to the floodwaters of Noah. About that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days, Before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. We know from our history, Jesus is born to us, God among us, Emmanuel, the promise of a merciful Savior, so that we might understand what love looks like. Love, even on a cross. This mystery, the present day. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of man. It always is amazing to me that people, when discussing First Communion, we want to give our children instruction, and it is right to give our children instruction, but I sometimes have to giggle inside when people say, well, we have to fully understand communion before we can participate in it. And I'm like, wow, really? I'm not so sure we know anything other than the promise that is made to us through our Lord Jesus Christ and the loving God. But we think about that present mystery of how Jesus comes through the bread and the wine and the waters of baptism and through the love of our friends and our family and our family. You might not think about God coming to you through the sacraments in terms of a flood, but yet picture this. It is an accurate image. Not in the violent disturbance of a flood, but the love of God, which has the tenacity of a flood, surrounding you and sweeping you off your own self-made foundation and into the floating mercy of God's forgiveness and into God's journey. You cannot run or hide from the love of God. It is all-encompassing, and you have no choice than to be fully submerged in it and by it. And then this majesty, this future, the coming of the Lord. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man, when two will be in the field and one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. Kind of reminds us of that Left Behind series, right? Are you prepared? Our assumption is, in this passage, that the parousia, the second coming, will dictate who's going to heaven, who's going to hell. But hear what it says in chapter 6 of our first lesson in Genesis. Sorry, just in Genesis chapter 6. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw that the earth was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted its ways upon the earth. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. Now I'm going to destroy them along with the earth. Pretty dire, right? But it says nothing about the ones getting swept away or that they would be lost forever. Nothing about hell or damnation. Only that God would stop the corruption by getting rid of them. Which begs the question, where'd they go? Well, I cannot tell you how to think of God's actions in the flood story. But I will ask you, does it sound like a creator we hear about in the first reading from Isaiah? He says this, he shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. I ask you to think of the love of God when it comes to how God brings forgiveness into the world. God gives God's self as a sacrifice. Does this sound like a creator that would not allow God's creation to be reunified with its creator? In this Advent season, no matter how you imagine or picture Jesus, prepare yourselves for God's coming. We know Jesus is born as our Savior and goes to the cross for the forgiveness of our sin. We come to church to be in community, ask forgiveness, to be fed by the sacraments and the Word of God. Then we are sent out into this broken world. There, we are asked again to use what we have learned to live into the next coming of God. The inbreaking of God is when we see the need of our neighbor and tend to that need. That is what being prepared looks like. Just look at Jesus and how he tended to those in his care. Remember, God gave him everything and everyone, and he did not lose one single one. We should be ready to not lose any of our brothers and sisters either. Amen.